Morning to you all. We are continuing through the Gospel of John at these 8:45 gatherings, but this morning I want to start by reading from a book in the Old Testament, Numbers, chapter 21. For some of us it will refresh our memories, for others it might be the first time you've heard this story because it's just kind of hidden away there in the book of Numbers. So, Numbers chapter 21. The Israelites have been released from Egypt. They've come out, they're on their way to the land that God has promised them, but they do nothing but moan and complain. And at one point, you may remember, they actually make an idol of a golden calf because they don't trust God and they want to see a God and actually worship a God that they can see with their own eyes. And when it comes to reaching the border of the promised land, all but two of them bottle out because they don't trust God with their future. They don't trust his promises and they rebel against him and they just keep moaning and complaining. And then we get to this account in Numbers chapter 21. But the people grew impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses, and they said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. I've got a couple of pictures as an artist's impression of Moses and the bronze snake. That's the first one. The second one is where the Greeks actually picked up on this. This is a god they made called Asclepios. And it's still used. The third little slide is still used, that imagery of a snake on a pole, in modern day medicine and pharmacy. You can see that a lot of that in Europe more than in this country. But it's anyway, that's just an interesting little aside. So I wondered what it was like living in the wilderness. Not sure they could really trust God. Not sure what kind of battle they were going to have to face next. Not sure if they'd ever get to the promised land. Looking back to the past, the way things were, and wishing they were there. And then if that wasn't all bad enough, suddenly they find themselves living in a world of venomous snakes, and they just know that one of these days they are going to be bitten and death will be inevitable. And I thought, it's not so very far from the way a lot of people live today, metaphorically speaking. Aimlessly walking through life, feeling like you're going round and round in circles. Not really sure if we can trust God. Does he even exist? Being tempted to make a golden calf so that we can worship that, something that we can see. Wondering what crisis is going to happen next. Or maybe for some of us getting older, looking back to the past and wishing we were back there the way things were. Might not have always been brilliant, but at least we knew what was what. And then we find ourselves living with this underlying sense of fear and inevitable death. So what are the things around us today that make us fearful? What's dominating our thoughts this morning? Our financial security? Are you afraid for your marriage? Afraid of bereavement? Loneliness? ill health, loss of independence, maybe death itself. You don't need to have any kind of prophetic insight to know that in a group of people like this and those who will be listening online at some stage in the future, there will be all kinds of those things dominating our minds. So what happens next? Well, the people go to Moses and they say, we know we've sinned. It's interesting that it's not recorded that they say sorry or even ask for forgiveness, but they acknowledge that they've sinned. And they ask Moses to ask God to take the snakes away. But God doesn't take the snakes away. And he never does. You see, these people are not living as God had instructed them to live. They're not keeping the Ten Commandments. They're not a grateful people. They're not an obedient people. They're not a trusting people. They're not worshipping God. And these snakes are the consequence of their rebellion and their choices. But God also loves them deeply. He created them. He knows them. He has a plan for them. He wants a relationship with them. He doesn't want them to be living in a world full of venomous snakes with no hope. And it's because of that love that he has for them that he gives them a way out of their predicament. Yes, there are consequences, but there is a way out. Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made the bronze snake and put it up on that pole. And when anyone was bitten by the snake, they went to the bronze snake on the pole. They looked at it and they lived. It didn't stop them being bitten. But once they'd been bitten, they could have hope. You know, what really excites me about the Bible is that stories like this in the Old Testament give me absolute assurance that God's got this. You know, we may look at the world around us and see it in utter, utter chaos, but God is sovereign and God has got it in hand. So let's come forward to 1500 years after this event and turn with me to John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever who does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Nicodemus is a God-fearing man. He knows his stuff. And yet, he can see in Jesus something that he doesn't have. What is it? This is an interesting passage to actually get your head around, because it comes before the cross of Jesus, but it is understood in the light of the cross after Jesus has been lifted up and after the Holy Spirit has been sent. Because Jesus tells Nicodemus that in order to see the kingdom of God, he must first be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, who is yet to come. Some of you would have heard bits of my story before, so you can zone out for the next minute or so. But I moved to Chalfont St. Peter in 1989. I was 28 years old. I was married with a baby and I was expecting another one. And now I believed in God. And I'd been taught about Jesus at Christmas and Easter and all that kind of thing. I could even sing the index of all the books of the Bible. I still can, but I won't. I prayed sometimes when I was in a crisis. But you know, I'd left home at 18 and I'd moved to London and I just got on with life, and some of it was fabulous and some of it was miserable, but that's okay, that's just life. By the time I moved to Chalfont St. Peter, I was really very happy. And then for the first time, to any extent, I met Christians. Women just like me, at the same kind of stage of life as me, and I could see that they had something different. They had a dynamic in their life which I did not have. They believed in God. Well, I believed in God. They knew about Jesus. Well, I knew about Jesus. They read the Bible. Well, I'd read bits of the Bible. The difference is that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit and I had not. I won't give you the whole story now, but there came a day when I too was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way I can describe it, it truly felt like I had been born again. All my life up to that point had gone, it was past. Now I had been born again, born into God's family. And it was an amazing experience. So I get Nicodemus. I understand the heart of that man. And Jesus, he gives Nicodemus the kind of heads up as to what's about to happen to him. And this is where our Old Testament story comes in. You've heard about how Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness so that anyone who looked at him could be healed. And now I am telling you that I too, the Son of Man, I've come down from heaven, that I too will be lifted up, so that when people look at me, they will be healed. If we skip forward a few chapters to John chapter 6, you don't need to turn to this in your Bibles, but we read Jesus saying, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." The way God redeemed the people in the wilderness points to a day when Jesus, the Son of God, will bring healing to all humankind. But it begs the question, healed of what? See, Nicodemus hadn't been bitten by a snake. Why did he need healing? The snakes were the consequence of sinful actions of the Israelites in the wilderness. And we today are living with the consequence of our sinful actions in our time. You see, there was no hope for eternal life for Nicodemus, any more than there is any hope of eternal life for me, or for you, or for anyone today, unless we look to the cross of Jesus. Without looking to the cross of Jesus, none of us have any hope of seeing the kingdom of God. This is what this says. Because I haven't always followed God's law. And you know, the frustrating thing is that I still don't. I still fail. I still don't always put God's ways first in my life. And I'm sure you don't either. I still get it wrong. I love the end of Romans 7, where Paul says in verse 18, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin in me. It's the human condition. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." God intervened with a rescue plan for the Israelites in the wilderness. And in the same way, God intervenes with a rescue plan for all of humanity. God loves his creation. God loves every human being he has created. He created all of us and he loves us. But he is a God of righteousness. It's easy to forget just who God is. If we're not careful, we can think of God as just a kind of big granddad figure up in the sky who loves us with a sentimental love, and therefore he'll turn a blind eye to our sin. But that is not who God is. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just out of Psalm 111, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the love that is spoken of in John 3:16, arguably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, is the word agape. That's the original word. And it's a love that sees a need and steps in to fulfill it. It's not primarily God's attraction to us. It's not God's affection towards us, but it's God's attention to our need and his action on our behalf. God so agaped the world that he gave his son. There's the action that God made. He sees a need and his agape love gives us the solution. The consequence for sin in the wilderness was snakes because of God's righteousness. The snake on the pole was God's provision for rescue because of his love. And today, the consequence of our sin is death and separation from God because of his righteousness. But Jesus lifted up on the cross is God's provision for us because of his love. It's his righteousness and his love intention. And when we realise just how righteous and holy God is, then we realise just how helpless we are. The awesomeness of God is a terrifying thing. And yet to know that God wants a relationship with us and has made a way through Jesus is an amazingly wonderful, beautiful thing. God is love. And as well as demanding righteousness, which we can never attain, and he knows we can never attain it, he gives us the rescue plan for this impossible situation. He sends his own son to step into the world, be lifted up on a pole as our redeemer. We are Adam's helpless race, and without looking to the cross of Jesus and believing in him, we cannot rescue ourselves. Acts 4:12 says it very plainly, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Nothing's changed. God is still righteous. Humankind still needs saving. Jesus was lifted up on the cross 2,000 years ago to be that saviour. No one else has come since with an alternative. You see, the bottom line is that God is holy and we are not. We're trapped in unholiness, and God had to find a way to deal with our unholiness. And the amazing plan that he devises is that he himself becomes our rescuer, takes the punishment on himself that should have been ours. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's our only escape. What we have to decide is, do we believe it? Now, there'll be many people here in this room this morning who do believe it. We know that we've got no escape on our own, and we've looked to the cross of Jesus, and we know that we are saved, not because we deserve it any more than anyone else, but because we have put our faith and our trust in what he has done and his way of salvation. We need not fear the snakes of this life, because we've responded to the offer of salvation. Maybe there are some of you here this morning who were like I was, or like Nicodemus was. You know this stuff in your head, but you can see in others that they've got something that you don't have. Maybe it is because you're looking at someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that's you this morning, can I really encourage you to do business with God? Maybe during communion, if you feel you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? Or maybe there's some here this morning, or maybe listening online at some future point. You've never responded to the gift of rescue. And again, I'd encourage you to really think about it. Look to the cross of Jesus. Come with your fears. Come with your questions. Come with those things in your life that dominate your thinking. Come with humility. Come just as you are, but come and look up at the cross of Jesus, because he is your saviour. Let me pray for us, and then I'll hand back over to James. Lord, I want to thank you for the way, Father God, you have got all of humanity in your hands. To think that thousands of years ago, That story is recorded about lifting up that snake in the wilderness, pointing to a time where you would lift up the Saviour, not just of a group of people, but of the world. I pray, Lord, for myself and my brothers and sisters here, that as we look out at our world today, with all the sin and the chaos and the pain and all manner of things that just seem to be going so horribly wrong right now, we can actually have assurance that you are God, you are still sovereign, and whatever happens to us, individually, we can look to the cross of Jesus and know that we are saved in his name. Amen.